a true warrior heart. Don't pump no fear if you study.
This is a call for the warriors. The ones who read through the lines and see through the lies and realize that these are the times. Calling the warriors. Those loaded with knowledge and acknowledge that the existence of the state is a problem.
This is for the warriors.
Truth seekers and truth speakers. Bullshit proof. I'll send a salute through your speakers.
Calling the warriors.
The ones who stand in their divinity. Loaded up and ready to die.
This is a call for the warriors.
Hello, folks. Welcome to another fantastic One Great Work Warriors episode. I got today with you. I'm Chris. This is Derek, Brandon, Jerry, Jim, and the wonderful Crip Rick. And we are the One Great Work Warriors. I'm going to hand it right over to my man Jerry today, and he's going to introduce this month's topic.
Thank you, Chris, for that introduction. Now, the reason why I chose this topic is because Rick had brought up the topic of music when we were going over the sitcoms, and it sort of got lost in the wind. So I brought it back up to revive it because I've been listening to music a lot lately. It's been helping me in my day-to-day activities. And I figured, you know, if there's a topic I want to talk about, it'd be music. It's just, you know, I want to dive deeper into it, and I did. So did the One Great Work Warriors. So I'll pass it to Derek to see what he has to share.
Yeah, Jerry, cheers. And yeah, definitely appreciate this topic on so many angles, even like the negative ones, which, you know, includes all the whack MCs out there and the bullshit programmed music and the hypnotic that makes you want to vomit type of music that's out there in the lamestream media. And there's reasons for that. And you can delve deep into the recordings of a certain, I think his name is John Todd, something like that, where he was a record executive or, you know, worked in that production level. And there's just many demonic elements involved with the mainstream music scene. And you could take that to Hollywood and all this other motherfucker, you know, all this shit. And that's such a bastardization of this sacred art form. It's, for me, music is so magical, so universal, so profound and powerful. And this is why it's been targeted to be weaponized against us. And, you know, I love how, you know, folks like J.R.R. Tolkien just had so many elements of music in his writings. Ladies and gentlemen, if you have not read the books and just, you know, focused on the movies, you're missing out on a fuck ton of things that are really more profound and important. He literally, like, invented languages, you know, the Elvish languages and all these things that you hear briefly in the movies and this and that, and you kind of just, whatever, right? But go into the poetry and this and that, and it just harkens back to the good old ancient times of where things were just, I guess, maybe more simpler, whatever, but music was involved, or just any kind of poetry or, you know, spoken word to certain situations and events that were worth remembering. You know, music was made to remind people what to remember as well. And you carry those things off, you know, through the folklore and mythos and all these things. And it's just, you know, there's that masculine, feminine essence within the music as well. You have like the melodic side and like the structural lyrical side as well, even though they can kind of go in tandem, right? And it's just, yeah, you can meditate, mediate in a really just balance yourself better when you listen to the right music, and especially when it comes to the right lyrics involved in music. That's kind of like my bread and butter, because, you know, yeah, Oh, did I mention that I have my channel Awakening Mind, where I've been mixing conscious hip hop and other genres for since 2012, whatever. 130 mixes and all that jazz. And then evolving from that, we have nattylaw.com, where I wrote some articles about some artists and other albums that, you know, touch on, you know, quite significantly the principles of natural law. And what we have going on right now, going into this year, later on around September, we have a Sound Path to Freedom music festival that was inspired by the music that was showcased in the Freedom Under Natural Law conference. And it did inspire people to, you know, to care about, you know, acting upon these things. And so here we are. And I'm just glad to be somewhat a part of it, participating. I'm not a super magical musician and whatever the fuck, but I just have a profound reverence and respect for music and trying to just give my personal contributions to it and, yeah, just showcase a lot of the artists and songs that I've been heavily influenced, you know, since I was a young little adolescent boy. But yeah. Rick, what's good, man? How's the drumming sessions going?
The drumming is awesome. And so I'm so passionate about it. I'm so blessed that I picked up sticks a year ago. I really am. And I'm very aware of that. I wish I would have started drumming 20, 30 years ago. I really do. But better late than never. And that's the way I look at it. And it has changed my life. I love this topic. I'm glad that we kind of rekindled it, because I think music is amazing. I've been a music fan since I can remember. Some of my first memories are listening to music and kind of dancing around the living room and with my mom and stuff like that. Those are some of my earliest memories. And there was always, music has always been a positive in my life, always. And I call it, a lot of the time on my radio show, I'll say it's my center. It's what brings me back when I get off the rails, or something's bothering me or something like that. I turn to music. I always have. And that's kind of like what brings me back to where I want to be. And I talk about that a lot, actually. And once again, I was telling you guys before we started recording, that's what I love about a lot of the topics here at the One Great Work Warriors that we have every month, is because that sometimes you hear the title and you're like, this is going to be an easy one. I'm going to crush this one. And then you start thinking about it for the month, and then you start mulling it around in your mind, and then you start throwing things out that you thought you were going to talk about. And I've been doing that constantly with this topic. Reason being is that music is so personal for each of us. That's the thing that I figured out. I can only go from what I experienced, but I'm learning that music for each person, and it means something different to each person. And that's why I love, that's what I think the power of music is. I am certain that, go back to the time when we just, you know, way back in our history, we were making noises and figuring rhythms out, and just that was probably a way to communicate, I would think. I think it goes back right to the beginning of us, this music. And I know that with drumming, like, there's something about a drum beat that is so primal and so ingrained in us that's why you hear people say, like, these drum beats move them. And it's really fascinating to me. And this has been coming because of my drumming. It's kind of like, I was trying to tell people I was talking to, I've said, learning an instrument is changing me. And they were like, what do you mean? And I'm like, I can't put words to it. I don't have the vocabulary to explain, but it's doing something spiritually to me, is the best way I could put it. I'm changing. It's changed my thoughts about music drastically, to the point where I was kind of a music snob even 3 years ago. If it wasn't rock or heavy metal, I didn't want to really listen to it. I would, if it was on the radio, it was a decent song or somebody played it, I would listen to it. It might even be a good song, but it wouldn't be like a song I would go to and just start playing it. I had to be in a certain genre, which now a year later is totally blown out of the water. And I'm listening to things I would never thought I would listen to a year ago, and appreciating the musicianship in it, and the work and the dedication that goes into making these amazing sounds. And I'm a fan now of so many different genres, and very open to them, because I love music. And if you hear it different, I don't know. I'm maybe musicians listening to what I'm talking about, you hear things different, I think, when you start learning how to play. any instrument. I don't care what instrument it is. It's just something I think is so powerful. And that's why I love music. And that's what I'm saying. It's not a complicated topic, but it kind of is, because as I just said, music is very, very personal. And it's something that is very, I just think of all the different type of music out there, and we use it for different reasons. That's another thing too. Like, it should be to inspire, I would hope. But I just think, I can't think of too many things that can elicit a reaction as certain songs that we all have. We all have these songs that as soon as you hear them, it'll teleport you back to a certain time, a certain event, a feeling. That is so powerful to me. I know the power of it, because I truly believe it's ingrained in us at such a spiritual level and a deep level. And it's just really powerful. So yeah, I'm a huge fan of this. I love music. It's a huge part of my day, every day. And yeah, but I use it for different reasons. And I don't want to keep going, because I could literally talk for an hour about this. I love the topic of music so much. So I will come back around and add some more to what I'm saying, and I will pass it on to whoever wants to take it. What about you, Jim? I know you like some metal. Let's hear what you got.
Yeah. Thanks, Rick. Yeah, man. I like music, and I hear what you're saying about personal to everyone. And I didn't know, I don't want to get like too deep into all this, but yeah, music is just like everywhere we go, and it's just such a part of humanity, right? And you had talked about how, like, since the beginning of time or whatever, I just think about, it's been with us since the beginning, because within music there's like 12 notes, and we can all make them with our mouth, right? We could all sing. Even if we didn't have language, we could still make these notes with our voice, right? And it's just pretty amazing. And there's so many different kinds of music. It's all just a different combination of those notes, right? And I used to think how different the world would be if there was another color, like a new color, right? And when it comes to music, it's the same thing, like how different the world would be if there was like a new note, it would change music so much and art. But just a thought, because I feel like I've been through so much music, like I've discovered it all, that I've gotten like bored with some of the stuff that I used to love so much. But going back as a kid, growing up, my sister was 4 years older than me, and she liked all like the 80s music and the pop music, and I didn't like that at all. But it was always like my mom and my sister were listening to that, and my dad would play like the 60s music, which I liked, but I feel like that was like his music, and that was always just like around. I liked most of that, but I just thought, oh, that's like that. And I was like, the 80s music, I was like, this is music? I hate music, And it wasn't until like I got into my teenage years was when I discovered my music. Because then I wasn't even like allowed to listen to like Led Zeppelin was like scary, right? Like, and it wasn't, I didn't have like access to those. My parents are pretty strict about, like, we didn't have cable TV. I didn't have MTV. And like, I didn't just like put on the radio and like listen to Led Zeppelin, or there was no access to these albums, or the kids who listened to like the metal bands, they were like scary to me. They were older, right? So, but then the first album that I ever got was Led Zeppelin 3, and that changed my life. Like, The Immigrant Song was the first song, and that was and I just went down this whole like rabbit hole of music from there. And then all so much more music. But I know, like, one thing that I did was with Led Zeppelin was I would look at the song titles and who wrote it. And like from their first album, there was like these other guys who wrote the songs, and Willie Dixon was one of the guys. And I was like, who's Willie Dixon? And this is like more like pre-internet stuff. And I don't even remember how I like figured, I worked at a record store when I was 18, 19, Sam Goody. So then that's how I was like, I discovered like more about blues music. And Willie Dixon was the guy. So I didn't know that the Led Zeppelin songs were blues music, because they played it like heavy metal. Like that Led Zeppelin album was like considered one of the first heavy metal, like the birth of heavy metal, right? But so then I discovered blues music, and then like Robert Johnson was another one that Led Zeppelin and so many other bands like took that music, that 12 bar blues format, which so many people don't realize is the foundation of rock and roll. That 12 bars is just a cycle that repeats, and it's built off that, and it came from the blues. And so I was very interested in learning about all that. So yeah, it was a big part of my life. And all these guitar bands, like I got into the guitar, and I got a guitar, and me and my friends, we would jam. Like we all always sucked, but we had so much fun just trying to make music, you know. So that was a big part of my life, and still is. Like I got guitar laying around, and I'll just pick it up and mess around with it. But yeah, that's kind of like, and like live music is a big one. So many people, it bothers me, like anyone who likes just pop music or listens to just like the regular radio stations. I guess they're just more like sheeple, and they don't have like their own music. They don't think about it. It's just like, I go to like a lot of pools, and like the customers play just like pop music all the time. And I'm just like thinking, I don't know. I don't know where I'm going with that, but just pop music is where you're getting into like, you know, more of that like mind control and that. And there's just so much I can go with this. I love music. There's, I've explored it all. I personally couldn't get into rap. Wasn't my thing. Grateful Dead have always been in the background of my life, and they're like improvisational, like live music, jazz bands, because they never play the song the same way twice, and not many bands do that, and that's an incredible thing. And so, and the Allman Brothers band, when I was 19, that I went to go see them in concert, and they're my favorite band of all time, just because of that first concert. It wasn't the first concert I went to, but the first time I saw them, and they'd come to New York City in March for like 3 weeks and play the Beacon Theater. And so I would go to as many shows as I could. But that first show, after that, my ears were ringing for the next 2 days. And it was like the most powerful musical experience that I ever had. I was 19 and I was down on the floor, and my friend's brother was buying us beers. But it was just a great experience. And so anyway, another band, they played the songs more the same time and speed, but with the solos would be more improvisational, and the Grateful Dead was just all over the place with that. Jerry Garcia, to me, is one of the most always like go-to, like Jerry Garcia band, even more than the Grateful Dead. Creedence Clearwater Revival, I love that band. Every album by them, and I know every song that they ever did. The Band, which is a band in Canada where Rick's from. I love that band. But anyway, this is just, I'm just revealing a lot of the music that's been part of my life. So. But I guess I'll pass it to...
I'll go next, Jim. Yeah, thanks, Jim, for sharing. It is, like Rick said, personal, right? Music, and I thought it was cool that you said in a couple different ways that you had these life-changing experiences, because, you know, like our topic isn't just music, it's music power. And, you know, I was thinking about Something Rick said too, that music is spiritual. And, you know, like the One Great Work Warriors, the reason we get together is we're centrally focused on natural law and freedom, right? And I asked myself, how does that have to do with music and the power of music? Well, it has everything to do with it. In a world where people are largely mind controlled, like you pointed out, there's, you know, the top 10 hits that are always out that tends to be brainwashing, commercialized music. And there's a lot of money in industry in keeping people at a certain wavelength and vibration. And if you can imagine doing tests on rats or mice or something, well, what would it be like if you put a loudspeaker in there and, you know, put certain vibrations? Is that going to affect them? Yes. You know, look at war times over and over through history. You get guys out there playing trumpets on the battlefield or hitting drums because it helps the spirit and the emotion of the people fighting to have a song. To, you know, song affects us in a deep way is what I'm getting at. And generally that's because music tends to open doors of either thoughts about freedom, right? Or love, right? Which both those things are very much related to natural law. Like we have a lot of emotions around the experiences we're having as a human, both as individuals and then as a group. We're all tied in together like the tree of life. And so if we're all having negative experiences, you know, we want to share that with each other, and singing or making music is a more powerful way of communication. Almost like I've explained about symbols. Symbols speak more than just words. On my last episode with Douglas Martin, we were talking about that. Like a symbol has 1,000 words. A sigil has 1,000 symbols. You know, music has, you know, symbols for days, right? And talk about who mentioned, I think Derek mentioned that male female aspect of music is one of those times when we find the strange balance, because the music and the sound puts us in a more right brain imaginative state, right? But then we can direct it with words. So it can be very dangerous to just listen to potentially hypnotic things. You know, it's all based, it goes back to the heart, right? Like our heart beats boom, boom, boom. That's the basic deep beat. All through history, people in groups form tribes, dance around a fire, beat drums. And every shaman in history has used drum beats to get into a certain meditative state. And so there's something very spiritual, something very much has to do with freedom and the feeling of freedom inside or outside, and or the lack of it, that makes us want to express ourselves emotionally in this way. And it does have the power to change people's life. And that's why it's a very important topic. So we want to like be conscious of what we're taking in, what vibrations we're taking in, and what vibrations we're putting out into the world. And that that symphony or harmony or discordance that we are creating or being a part of is going to change the future. You know. So I think Brandon's up next, unless Jerry wanted to throw in a few more words before we go.
You got it, Brandon.
Man, y'all kind of covered a lot. I don't think anyone can come out here and say they haven't been influenced by music, no matter, you know, what the genre is. And I've always been fascinated by it. I have a different perspective now. You know, when I hear, you know, music. Because I've always been a individual who would go and look up the lyrics. Like, I was always interested in the lyrics. But as always, you know, let's define what music is. A succession of organized sounds, or the combination of sounds and harmony. Keyword, harmony. You know, this is going to be a theme here, is harmony. An art form of organized pitch, rhythm, and sound. You know, so that's what we are talking about, you know, with the creation, the, you know, her relationship to things, because that's what music does, is it connects, it brings you together. You know, so when I hear music, I'm thinking of, you know, of good times, of, you know, like the good memories, the good experiences, you know, the opening up, the coming together, you know, like the calm me down, how they're relaxing, because, you know, it's the opening up, the connection that it is bringing toward you, you know, you resonating with that vibration, you know, so we're dealing with harmony, a harmonious pattern that we recognize, you know, it's a cooperation. It's almost like an order. It's an understanding. It's an accord. You know, that's what I want people to get what I'm saying. An accord. What is an accord? It's harmony. It is harmony. It means to be in harmony. And in mythology, there was these female goddesses, Concordia. Could that be associated with the word, you know, accord? Well, who was Concordia? Who was Harmonia in the Roman and Greek traditions? The goddess of harmony, the goddess of agreement. And on another note, one of my favorite movies was a kung fu flick with David Carradine. Cheesy movie, but it's called The Circle of Iron. And in this movie, the main character is called Cord. And he's on a quest for the book of wisdom, the quest for the book of knowledge. And he wants to harmonize with his book. He wants to harmonize with his knowledge. And little does he know that the book is within, because he finds the book and he opens it up and it's just a mirror. And then he learns that all the secrets of the world are within. But see, he is the chord. So, you know, we play a chord in music. So what, you know, what does that mean? Is three or more notes played together harmoniously? You know, a chord is also a string on a musical instrument. You know, we have terms like, you know, you struck a chord, you know, with me, you know, so what does that mean? It means you resonated with something on a deeply emotional level with either something, someone, some experience, some modality, you know, it struck a chord, you know, with you. So what is a chord in and of itself? A chord is a string or rope-like material twisted together or woven together or unified or in a harmonious pattern together, making it stronger. You know, so we use chords daily. We use chords to do what? Connect things, to attach things, to tie things together. You know, so there obviously is some kind of arch type with this line, this string-like, you know, material, because we use cords to connect our technology. You know, man has always used cords when it has come to the transferring of information, the transferring of knowledge. Even, you know, when we had landlines, you know, even with, you know, phone towers and phone signals, it was always cords. Cords were a means to have information and energy flowing. Well, why is that? Because a line, a chord, is what connects two points. And that's exactly what music does. You know, so I think there is a deeper underlying, you know, theme here with the whole chord-like arch type connection, you know, because we have this image, we have this, you know, like this symbol representative of the string of the line, you know, and we have sayings like, you crossed the line. Well, what does that mean? You kind of yanked my cord. And when you yank my cord, when you yank a cord, what does it do? It produces what? Vibration.
Discord.
Yes. It produces energy. Yes. So all of this is like getting into like deeper, like metaphysical. I kind of feel like I've been like I've kind of felt like I had like Nate Cap in the back of my mind, you know, and like all of his symbology and like all of his stuff. And then like Conrad's video, you know, like kind of like in the back of my mind, kind of like weaving all this stuff together. Hence, you know, so, you know, according, you know, he'll harmonizing all of these words and all of these wordplay and all this green language, you know, held together to get people to understand that there is a deep connection when it comes to music, a very deep spiritual connection when it comes to music, you know. So, you know, you have the connection of two points, you know, held aligns so information can flow, creating waveforms, creating energies, creating, you know, held emotions, creating dance. You know, you're in tune with the tune. Everyone is in accord, you know. So what is a tune? You know, what is a tune? Or what does it mean to tune something? It means to adjust a receiver so that information can flow to a specific signal or a specific frequency. You know, we also have words like to tune a car, to tune a piece of machinery. Well, what does that mean? It means to adjust or put in a correct state. So pretty much something is in disharmony, you correct it and putting it back into harmony. Then you also have the, you know, like the tunes that they play on the radio, which they want you to harmonize with. But that's a perversion of the false harmony of, you know, like the false light. So when I hear music, when I think of music, I am thinking of the connection to things on an emotional level that have either happened, experiences, certain, you know, loved ones, certain ancestors, certain family members, certain friends. It can even be a certain struggle, a certain trauma, a certain addiction. You know, music can be so reflective in so many different ways. Like Rick said, you know, it's going to influence you and penetrate your soul on a deep level, and it's going to be unique towards you, a certain experience that may be similar to others, but unique in your own way, because it is what harmonizes you to reality in the now. And that's why it's such an emotional, deep connection, because it literally resonates with the spirit. And I think that's why a lot of music now has kind of lost its touch, because, you know, man has, you know, become so disharmonized and, you know, been in such, you know, discord with the spiritual side, you know, with nature, you know, with truth, you know, with, you know, true creativity, because this art form was supposed to be about truly expression, you know, and then you can take that expression and then connect your expression to that and can have a similar yet different, unique expression. But sadly, we seem to be losing that, because unfortunately, it seems that that cord has been cut, you know, that disunity, you know, that harmony isn't there anymore. And sadly, I think we all see it. But yeah, figured I'd throw in some green language, figured Derek would kind of like it.
I like it when you said on another note.
Yeah, that fit perfect.
Yeah, Jerry, what's good, brother?
Yeah, that was great, Brandon. Thank you for sharing that green language, symbology, all stuff we need to hear. And I know Chris just had the symbology episode with Douglas Martin, which was fantastic. But just to get back into this topic of music, I think I have to share, you know, as you said, Rick, that this topic, as with all the other topics that we've covered, it seems simple at first, and then you realize, oh yeah, there's more to it. I completely agree. I will say that I feel like this is one of the easiest ones, just because, as Brandon was just mentioning, it's related to harmony. So I feel very harmonious in talking about this topic, inspiring you to, you know, get more in touch with yourself, with nature, possibly God. So here, I mean, inspired by Chris Jansen in our meetings, I'll touch on what are the dangers of this music, right? As we want to be conscious and whatnot. I know you already touched on the radio. You know, Diesel Automatic has a song called On the Radio. Check that out. But it can be used to manipulate your emotions. And I, for one, have fell victim to this, or prey to, I shall say, which I can touch on in a little bit. Or I can just say it now. Screw it. I mean, I remember when I moved from Mexico to upstate New York for high school that I used to listen to a lot of metal. That was my jam. And I used to have a band, right? And we used to play. It was a lot of fun. And as I went to upstate New York, my older brother told me that the people listen to rap. So I remember when I first, you know, when I was first hearing it, I couldn't really flow to it. I seemed out of harmony. But I thought, you know, he's right. And so I put myself in a box per se, and I kind of left the metal world. And well, the more I listened to this rap, because thinking this is the right music, the more I was, I guess, mind controlled. And the more I, you know, started okaying violent behaviors, this and that. So I'll just leave it at that for now. But music can be used to trigger emotions in ways that bypass critical thinking, making people more susceptible to propaganda, consumerism, or ideological control. I do want to just mention that perhaps this is why, I mean, maybe at the supermarkets they have, I mean, I know you touched on this in the meeting, Jim, but at the supermarkets, how they have the music playing, it's all the radio stuff, the, oh yeah, buy more, whatever, kind of to make you buy more, I suppose. Let's see, jingles, repetitive lyrics, or emotionally charged songs can reinforce unconscious beliefs or behaviors. I don't know, I just remember, you know, something's bringing me back to, I don't know, if it's Kendrick Lamar or someone, but how someone who's about to rob someone is just playing like violent music, right? So let's see, music, the dangers, they can promote negative values. Much mainstream music glorifies violence, hypersexuality. So, man, you know, this was kind of calling women bitches, let's just say that. You know, the materialism, which I love that Diesel Automatic touches on. He says, bro, go within. Nihilism and ego gratification, which can tie into the satanic music, which I think is no good, right? And yeah, these messages can normalize harmful worldviews, which we want to have, you know, our worldview in line with reality. And yeah, especially among impressionable listeners. And this can be a distraction from the inner work. So constant background music can prevent people from sitting in silence. Yeah, I mean, this can be maybe you're using it as escapism. And, you know, it can be a distraction is what I'm saying, that if I'm supposed to be, you know, focused, doing the great work, it can kind of make you, like, take you out of focus. And maybe, you know, I've come across like some video saying, oh, music, you know, is addictive or can be addictive. That's another topic, but I figured I'd throw it out there just as a, maybe go check it out, you know, because I wonder sometimes if, you know, I'm addicted to music, but hey, I don't know, because it does release dopamine, right? When you listen to music, your brain fires dopamine. But I mean, of course, music is neutral, so treat it with respect. And yeah, I suppose it can be used, you know, as a distraction from confronting difficult emotions. I want to just touch on this real quick, because music can have the down effect of like if you listen to, as I mentioned, the violent music, like you're going to be all riled up. But let's say maybe, you know, typical example of the person breaking up with their girlfriend or whatever, and they listen to sad songs. Like the sad songs can really reinforce that sad feeling. So if you are just stuck in that pattern of, oh yeah, listening to sad songs, I think that can have a downwards effect. So I would say, you know, play something happy to kind of get you out of that sad feeling. And yeah, entertainment focused music can numb people to reality instead of waking them up. And this is interesting, Derek. Maybe you can touch on this a little bit more, but let's say the hertz of the music. I mean, I think there's a reason why perhaps you make these soundtracks at a 432 hertz, and there's a lot of science behind that. And repetitive rhythms or dissonant tones can disrupt brainwaves or inner harmony. So this is basically saying that what you listen to matters, right? If you're listening to straight poison, like, you're basically gonna be poisoned. And then this is a great one, the cultural conditioning. At least, I mean, the typical example of, you have these people that listen to rap, and then you have these people that listen to metal, and these people that listen to pop. It's like these groups form. But I think it's because we can relate to another with what type of music they listen to. But I don't know. I think maybe music is for everyone, right? It's not, I think we should dissolve the divide, right? Oh, and then last thing before I pass it on, is the censorship that comes along with conscious musicians, that they face the, maybe they put in a lot of hard work for their music to really not, reach many people. So hopefully, we can support them. And I'll pass it to you, Derek.
Cheers, brother. Yeah, you brought up some great points that I could riff off of. And I'll get to the hurts, because sometimes that shit actually does hurt on that, subtle energetic level, right? The 440 to instead of, 432, there's reasons for that. It's not just because of the Rockefellers. Like, they're not responsible for, all these things. Like, they had, people that they controlled and all these things, and they might have even had, higher uppers above them, type of thing. But the discord of that harmony of that proper natural tone of the 432, and possibly anything that's even more pure than that, has been disrupted. And the official standard of music being produced is at the 440 hertz and stuff, and just a little slight tweak of 8 hertz and flip the 8, the number sideways, and you have this negative fucking feedback loop being pumped on the boob tube and the radio stations all across the nations. And yes, MTV, remember that one bit from Michael Tsarion? When you repeat that word, MTV, MTV, empty TV, or whatever, it's like they have this empty mind, sometimes. And the music videos are not the same today as they were when I was growing up in the 80s, 90s. Today it's like just a bunch of like transhumanist bullshit and like just like gallivanting, glorifying gangsterism and all the fucking amplified, fame and all this shit, and also like soft porn. It's just it's drivel, it's a shame, and all these things. And those were the things that were always in the back of my mind making the music mixes that I have been for over a dozen years, because it's all killer, no fucking filler. And killer in regards to like killer consciousness or killer conscious content or lyrics and that kind of stuff. Meaningful things. It's not just, like you're filling in space because there's, rhythms and octaves that, people are going to put lyrics over, it's anyway. So I busted out some old school shit. I'm going to read something real quick for you guys. And this is actually initiated by Chris Nelson when we had that great work launchpad thing We're talking about, yeah, do you guys take notes? It's like, fuck yeah, dude. Like, and I got some writtens, and I totally forgot about certain things that I've, you know, just written down in the past, and I was looking for them, you know, trying to prepare for this meeting. It's like, I can't find this, you know, one, you know, little thing I wrote like years ago. Where is it at? It's like, oh shit, it's not on the computer, on the digital realm. It's, you know, from the pad to the pen. Aren't you glad, my friend? But I don't know about you, but as far as myself, I used to live my life according to hip-hop quotes to a degree. Searching for a line that applied to my situation at the time. I remember skipping school on those blunted ballads in San Francisco, eager to see what mysteries, knowledge, and good times awaited me in those record stores. Because Amoeba Music Record Store, folks that are not on the West Coast might not be familiar with it, but yeah, it's like one of the best record stores I've ever been to in my life. Chris knows about that shit. You know what's up, man. There's only three of them. Berkeley, San Francisco, and Los Angeles. Anyway, so sometimes there were artists outside of these stores or inside selling music. Like, I spoke with artists, like, on the streets. And the San Francisco Bay Area was just, like, fantastic for... There's, like, this golden era in the 90s. It's just so magical, right? Yeah, slanging tapes the old-fashioned way. Out your fucking trunk, you know, like...
$93 Affinity?
What's up? Say it again?
You were saying the 90s, and I thought of 93 till Infinity. Sorry, I had to mention that.
Fuck yeah, man, yeah. Souls of Mischief, and yeah, Word to Hieroglyphics. And they have the symbol of just, like, not even a smiley face, but just a line with three eyes. So folks can kind of realize and get keyed into these more spiritual aspects, even if they might not always be talking about them. And that's fine sometimes. You know, it's like not every single hip-hop artist needs to be, like, talking about, like, the spiritual principles every single fucking lyric at the same time, even though I'd more prefer that. Yet they also are trying to reach the lower common denominator and folks that are a lot more ignorant to what we're talking about and all these things. And music is one of those vehicles that can drive individuals towards, you know, these more higher spiritual principles. I mean, hip-hop, what is the acronym of that? Healing our people. Sorry. Holistic, infinite power, healing our people. I might have... Anyways, yeah, so... I lost my track on this. It's too long anyways, but... Because, man, I got so many other notes that I wrote from what you guys were talking about just like 5 minutes ago, and I'm going to rifle through these so we can get Rick on right after. But, yeah, I just got to give Rick, Chris, and Brandon shouts out because, you know, we've had previous recordings, you know, speaking about music. You know, like, Brandon, we had a really great chat. I really appreciated you years ago reaching out. You know, we had Awakening Through Hip Hop, that kind of segment. And Rick with the, you know, talking about the transhumanist stuff and, you know, revolving around the mix that I made on that. And Chris, just like riffing on the scritching and just like, you know, cruising around the bay and all these things we had to say. And just, yeah, man, it's some of that good old wordplay. And yeah, so, you know, music is involved in so many aspects of life, right? And I think most human beings out there have a reverence for it to whatever degree, even if it might be on this more lamestream level, right? And that's not to say, like, and it sucks to overgeneralize, right? There are, I mean, like, you hear it on the radio, like the good old rock stations, 107.7 The Bone, right? Chris, you know that one? I don't know if that's AM or FM, but it might be nationwide. But anyways, but yeah, Jim, you mentioned like Creedence Clearwater Revival. I loved, like, I lived with a friend that, you know, really helped me get keyed into the Led Zeppelins and the CCRs and folks like that. And I really appreciated their music because I was just more in, way more into hip hop than anything else. And, you know, growing up, it was more about the underground scene because there was just like countless amounts of artists, and I'll touch on that later. But, music is a form of language in and of itself, and it depends on the instruments being played that conveys whatever, and you could just feel into that. And that's what I love about that magical aspect of it. Like, especially, you know, I took a jazz class, just a jazz history class, if you will, in junior college, actually Santa Rosa Junior College, Chris. And it just blew my appreciation for jazz out of the waters. Yeah. And just my dad, who played the saxophone, that was one of the reasons why I took it as well. You know, I played the trumpet in middle school and nothing after that. But, you know, it's just the instrumentals and like the jam sessions, the improvisational aspects that, you know, some of these artists like just bring to the table and just groove off of that stuff. It doesn't matter if they're drunk or sober or on fucking heroin. Sometimes that shit is just blazingly magical, and people just need to take it for what it is. It's like this, these time capsules, if you will, you know, these memories frozen in time through the harmony that they created at that time. And when people listen to those songs at certain times in their life, that could have a current reoccurring theme playing throughout their life. Like, you ever, you know, hear that one song, it's like, oh yeah, that takes me back to when, you know, I first heard that song when I was doing this. And you even remember the smells and the colors and the people around you and all this stuff. And it's like you have vivid memories around certain aspects of music that you don't with other things, right? So yeah, that's like just like part of the magic of it. And I just love that. And I love your bit, Brandon, on the accordance of people being able to afford using their vocal cord to strike a chord and get rid of the fucking discord that is going on in the world, right? So play on those words, people. Like, just meditate and contemplate on these things. It's really great, man. I love that shit. Yeah. And I forget who mentioned, Jim, I think you mentioned, the 12 notes that correspond also to the 12 signs of the zodiac, and also our 12 strand DNA templating that is obviously, you know, 10% active at this moment. It goes into, you know, the 10 human tribes, base 10, base 12, mathematics and all these things. It's like so many things correlate in, are integrated in the fabrics of creation, and just the human expression, like, just bringing these out in so many different ways and genres is a beautiful thing, especially when it's done right, not in that whack MC realm type of thing. So anyways, and yeah, we see the change of the formats of music and how people are playing music and appreciating music with the vinyl, the 45s, 33s, the fucking, you know, CDs, MP3s, and now to the streaming. And so it just seems like a lot of people want a lot of fucking freebies, and I'm always scratching my head and like just like almost in tears thinking about, you know, all these wonderful artists, like how could they make a living off of these times, these days? There are clever ones that are, you know, striving and and doing more than surviving. But anyways,
You know, that's something I've wondered about, Derek. The money aspect of music is something I think that sours modern music, and especially the commercialized music that's out there. It's just, you know, it does throw a negative spin on, you know, these lists that repeat and that get in people's head, you know, and I think that is one of the negative connotations of music is that, you know, if we're just listening to something repeating, that is the essence of hypnotism, is repetition when you're in the imaginative state. So, you know, I just think that it is important to be conscious of what we're listening to. And is it, I have to ask sometimes, is it really honorable the way that music has turned into an industry where it's really something that's natural? And I'm not saying someone shouldn't get paid to do some good music, like, you know, in the right scenario, but I'm not sure that the way it's done in today's world is a good thing, that it's an industry in of itself and all that's charged with money and greed. And that puts so much money in that industry that of course there's going to be people that are out there trying to manipulate large groups of people, or like Jerry said, split them into classifications using that power. So I think it's important that we find a way to keep it personal, you know, and that is by being conscious of, you can create your own playlist. You know, I'm sorry, I just jumped in, Derek, but I want to make sure we get time for everybody.
Yeah, yeah, you're all good, brother. Yeah.
And I just wanted to say, you know, for me in my life, I used to like, I remember when I got a double cassette player and I used to like record music playing and then I would record me singing over it. Like I wanted to be part of it, you know? And so then over the years I developed my own style of making up my own songs, which I called scratch music. And, you know, maybe I'll play one, you know, on one of these podcasts. I probably have in the past, but I just think finding a way to put your own creativity or consciousness, whether it's choosing the songs you listen to or like actually analyzing lyrics and purposefully, you know, noticing what they're saying, is huge. And so the reason I chose three bands I wanted to share with people, the Rudians is a band I discovered, a reggae band, and I really love their music. It touches my heart. And a lot of their words are really awesome too. And then the song that I play on the End Evil podcast is made by this band that they've broken up, but they did a couple albums called Beltane's Fire. And I've heard MC Lynx, the singer, speak. He was part of like the Occupy Oakland movement and stuff, and was trying to be an anarchist. You know, he was an anarchist. One of their albums was called Anarchitecture. And so I've always played that theme song, The Glasgow Reel, because they didn't copyright that music, so I don't have to like pay someone to play it. But that guy also admitted that people didn't pay for his albums when he gave him the option. He made whole albums and people never paid. So he eventually had to find a way, like you said, to get creative about the music. So, well, those are the things I just mostly want to interject, that, you know, find a way to put your own creative spin. And then the last thing, somebody mentioned Conrad Rogez's presentation from Funnel. And that really hit me that he talked about nature's soundtrack. And I started thinking a lot when I go outdoors and when I go camping. I have a little radio I bring that has my playlist. I love it. It keeps me in a certain state of mind I like to be in. But I also like to turn it off and listen to nature's soundtrack, the birds and the crickets and the water, whatever's going on out there. And I think that has a healing modality to our systems. It's original. It's granola. It's part of what we are, nature's soundtrack. And when we keep unplugged from that too long and too many walls and distractions, and we don't get those healing sounds of nature, our cells need it. They yearn for it. Everything is vibration. You know, think about the hermetic principles. Vibration is reality. So, you know, understanding sound and how it affects us, I think, is huge. But who hasn't talked yet? Let's make sure everybody gets some more time in.
I'll build off what you said, Chris. Ahead. Just because you brought up the soundtrack and nature, and I was just talking about that on radio this week, that it was so quiet in the winter. When I go outside, like, it's just, you know, it's the quietness of winter. And then now when I go outside in any time of the evening, it's just this orchestra of nature. I love it. Like, you hear the frogs and the crickets and all the nighttime things going on. And it's this symphony of music. It's amazing. And I've always noticed it, but now I appreciate it. Once again, it's just something changed to me where I'm starting to appreciate things differently. And yeah, I'm just glad you kind of brought that up, and that you brought up cassettes, because I still have my cassette player, dual cassette, like you said. I still have an actual component stereo with high quality speakers. I still collect vinyl, and I tell people, if you want to listen to music the way it's meant to be listened to, you need to do it with vinyl. You need to do it through a quality stereo and speakers. I've changed people's whole music journey by listening. They've listened to my albums on vinyl in my tattoo studio, and they hear the way it sounds through a stereo, like a high quality stereo, quality speakers on vinyl, and their jaw drops. And I'm not even exaggerating. Like they've never heard music like that. They usually hear it through their phone or some shitty speaker that they have, not hearing how it should sound. And then I've changed people to start collecting vinyl and get component stereos. So that's the way it's meant to be listened to. So I just wanted to build on that. I love the nature aspect, though. I'm glad you kind of brought that up, because I would have forgot about that. But you guys all bring up great stuff, and this is a conversation I literally could have all night. And so I'm listening to everything that you guys are saying, and it's powerful stuff. And I hope people are taking a lot away thinking about it and taking stuff away, because music is powerful and music is frequency. And we're talking about a lot of the positive, but there's also, when you have frequency and vibration, we all know that can definitely be tampered with, and that can be tampered with for both good or bad. And the proof for me is when I love listening to people's testimonies and about music, and you will hear people give their testimonies and speak about how a certain band or a certain song like saved their life. Like, it literally, this band, for whatever reason, they connected with it, they connected with their music, whatever the music is, and I hear story after story that it saved them from addiction, it put them on a positive path. Like, so there's so much positive from music. And then, you know, then you hear the other side. Of course, there's always the yin and the yang. There's the side where you hear people get manipulated by music and they end up taking their life. They end up, you know, going down a darker path. And that's just kind of showing you the contrast. And those stories that I hear people talk about, and cautionary tales even, are very powerful to me, because it just shows once again, the power of music. And, And then when I think about music, I think, can music be hijacked? Well, yes, absolutely. And for how long? Who knows how long music has been hijacked? Maybe right from the start to a certain degree, but is it definitely is it being hijacked? Absolutely. And I don't think anybody would really argue with that. And it's definitely being used as a weapon against people, and for a lot of negative reasons. And I see that with a lot of the occult symbolism. You know, they're just so blatant with it now. Like, just go look at any of these like halftime shows and a lot of these big pop culture, you know, these big pop culture, I guess, pop bands are just blatant with it now. So there's a lot of symbology that they're just throwing out in people's faces. And for me, what music should be is, I think it's really important to say, is that it should be inspirational. For me, it is. It inspires me in so many different ways. It should definitely inspire creativity, I would think, and elicit an emotion. I think music is great for that. It just elicits these different emotions. Derek kind of touched on that. Jerry did. You know, when you hear a sad song or a happy song, it will literally, like, you feel that so emotionally. And I think sometimes, you know, listening to sad songs and that is a good thing. I think, you know, that gets you through some hard times sometimes. You got to know when to use it, but I think feeling those emotions is a good thing in the long run. It's better than kind of burying them down. And music is a great way to kind of experience it. And then after you feel like crap listening to a sad song, it's got you all emotional, then you put a positive song on and go through another whole wave of emotion, I guess. But it's so powerful to me. But it should, and I think you guys also brought up dance, which is a great thing about music. It inspires movement. And I'm glad that was brought up. And for me, I remember listening to The Doors and Jim Morrison from The Doors, and listening to his music, and inspired me to definitely start reading poetry, because he was a poet before a musician. He wanted to be a poet. That's what he wanted to do. And he kind of thought music would be a good gateway for that. And then people would find out about his poetry and he could go more like the poet way. And it just didn't work out that way. But his music and poet, like Jim Morrison's music, inspired me to start reading poetry, which I still do, and write poetry. So that's a really big positive thing to me. There's once again that creativity, and it should be positive and not used as a tool of manipulation, is what I'm trying to say. And it bothers me that it's being used that way. And just a funny example too, is just think of how the powerful music is. Like, think of a jingle or a song that gets stuck in your head and you can't get rid of it. It's just in there. And then you're humming it. You may not even like the song or the jingle or whatever, but it's in there. Like, and you're humming it. It takes forever to get it out of your head. I just always think that that's so powerful, especially when I'm aware that I'm doing it. I'm just like, what is going on? Like, how did it even get in there? But so, you know, and just to wrap up, because I don't want to take any more time, the bands that I find inspiration from, so many different bands, I would be here for an hour listing them, but definitely some of the bands that I like because their lyrics and they just inspire me. So they mean, is definitely the name's Megadeth. That's the band, but don't let the name fool you. Since the 80s, I've been listening to them. They have been writing about real world stuff and spirituality and stuff in their music. If you take the time to look at the lyrics, as Brandon said, you know, take the time to look at the lyrics. You might be shocked. Another band that I've definitely been inspired by is Metallica. I think their music inspires me. That's the best I can give. And definitely Pink Floyd has been one of the ones. The two albums I would recommend for Pink Floyd is The Wall, of course, or the movie. You can check out the movie The Wall. And Animals is my favorite Pink Floyd album. And I'll just tell people that there's the songs on the album Animals by Pink Floyd is basically they break down humanity and people into different animals. So just for an example, are you a sheep? Are you a dog? And those songs are about that. So check out the album just for that aspect, because it's so fascinating how they break just people down at their core. And so that's always been my favorite Pink Floyd album. And of course, as I said, Jim Morrison, if you want to hear his poetry, he's got a poetry album out there called Jim Morrison, The American Prayer. An American Prayer, which you can find. And it's just an album of his poetry. And that's what inspired me, like I just said, to start even reading poetry. I've always read books, but poetry, that came later when I found out to start looking into this band. So that's all I got to say, guys. I want to thank you guys for being here and an amazing topic. I think this is really going to hit people, and it's going to hit people on a very, as I said, personal level, because music is so, like I said, personal. And it's a tricky thing. And some people, bands you may think are negative, and they have they elicit negativity in you, but to somebody else, just remember that could be a band or a song that saves their life for whatever reason. They just resonate with it. And don't be scared to try different music. I will end with that, because as I said in the last little round, I was a music snob for the longest time, and Derek brought up jazz, and I'm trying to play jazz on the drums. Definitely, I'm a rock drummer. Jazz is not easy. I have so much respect now, and I listen to jazz a lot because I like the drumming, and it's tough. It is. There's just so many incredible musicians out there, but jazz, ooh, it's not easy, at least for me. Drumming jazz at this moment is so different than rock drumming, and I love it. And yeah, what will I wrap up with? Pick up an instrument. You're never too old. If you've even played an instrument in the past and you put it down, it's in the closet, the garage, gathering dust. If you've had any thoughts to pick it up, do it, because it might change your life. Drumming did for me in a very positive way. So don't be afraid to pick up an instrument. I don't care if it's a flute, a trumpet, a ukulele. I don't care what it is. Pick it up. If you've even thought about playing an instrument, go pick one up and give it a go. And don't limit yourself. Don't let age, a disability limit you. I always say the only limitations that are in front of you are the ones that you have put there. So that's what I'm going to end with, guys, on that long little rant, and I'll pass it on.
Yeah, I'll go here. I had this memory talking about, Chris, you were talking about the music industry and all that, and how, you know, music more these days, like, could be taken for granted because it's, like, so much more accessible. Like, and Derek mentioned that Amoeba Music, like, how to go, you go there, and it's just like this incredible, like, palace of music and discovery. But now in today's age, like, you can go on YouTube and pretty much get any album, or this Spotify and Pandora and all that stuff. There's so much access at your fingertips to this music. And I had this memory when I was like about 20 or 21 years old, and I took the train to the city to get this one album. Like Bob Dylan, it was called Bob Dylan and the Hawks Play Fucking Loud. And like, I couldn't get it anywhere, like around here. And I knew if I went to Greenwich Village, I could find it in one of those shops. Or maybe I was there once before and I saw it and I had to go back and get it. But I just have that memory, like that's what it took to go get it. And the Hawks, Bob Dylan, the Hawks was the band that I mentioned, that band before. I was really into them. So you know, I was drinking beers on the train and all that. And then I went to work at UPS. That's the memory I have of my youth. And then another thing that Brandon brought up, and I had to look it up too, because I knew that like some of the first instruments, the strings were made out of like the guts of animals.
Mm-hmm.
And right. If you look it up, the etymology, cord is Greek. It means gut.
Good, yeah.
The gut. Yeah. K-H-O-R-D. Yeah, it means, maybe cool. You're going to speak about that. But so, I mean, what's so amazing about one string is that all those 12 notes can be played on one string, you know, and even different octaves on the same string. And that's by us humans making instruments, putting a string on an instrument, and how incredible instruments are. To think mm-hmm. of a piano, a grand piano, and what it takes to make that instrument, like it's incredible. And then like no one really spoke about classical music, but if you think about classical music and what it takes to like all that composition with, you know, those composers, Beethoven and Mozart, but then to make it with all like 50 different musicians and 50 different instruments and put that all together, how incredible that is to like the and it's all based on those 12 notes, right? And making those instruments from like with the strings that, like, and then you got the wind instruments as well, like, and they're made out of metal. And what does it take to have created those instruments is just, you know, really an accomplishment of humanity's, like the lengths that people have gone to create music is from just making some noise on an animal gut, right, to getting all the way to making a piano.
Yeah. Or an animal for drums, like how they used to make the old drums. Yeah. Incredible.
Yeah, that's how they were making them. And then, like, you know, modern day, we're down to like the guitar. It's like one of the main instruments with the six strings and electricity. And there's so much you could do with that. But it's like when you compare that to classical music, it's just like the intelligence that goes behind it is just, it's so much more complex and amazing when you think about it. And then as far as like the top three kind of things, like we said, we would kind of say the things that inspired us, the band Black Sabbath. My friend had the album Master of Reality, and I was probably about 16 or 17. And that album is just like, to me, I didn't really realize it, but I was like going back to it, it was like, that's, I have to put that like in a very like inspirational album for me. And when my kids were little, I used to play the song Children of the Grave. And that sounds bad, right? There's so many of their titles of their songs. It like, sounds bad, but if you really look at the lyrics,
yeah.
If you read the lyrics and like check out the lyrics, like you guys were talking about, read the lyrics of Ozzy Osbourne, who's the lead singer of the original Black Sabbath. He gets into like God and love. Yeah, he's talking about Satan too, but he's on the side of love, you know, speaking out against the evil. But that song, Children of the Grave, is such a like. It like boom, 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 boom. It just go. The kids would just start running around the house, like going nuts, and it was just a great memory. And I was like always drinking back in those days, but I would just blast it, and that was like that was one of the songs my kids loved, "Children of the Grave," and then like all like the other songs, "After Forever" and "Into the Void," and the. This is this little like violin intro into Children of the Grave, Rick. Mm-hmm. I know you know it. Or Embryo.
Mm-hmm.
It's just like this little like medieval kind of theme going on with that album, and the song, little instrumental called Orchid, that goes into Lord of This World, right? Like Lord of This World, like, is about evil oppressor, right? Like, and it's just, that's a good album, like, related to a lot of things we talk about. And then there's a few years ago, the song by John Lennon, Mind Games.
Oh yeah.
Just, I never was like really into John Lennon or the Beatles so much until like maybe the last 10 years. And that song, for some reason, I discovered, like, I listened to the lyrics again. And I always thought it was about like, oh, like the girls playing like mind games with you. Or I asked other people, they think that as well. It's like, but if you read it, and I wish I had them in front of me, I should. But I encourage anyone to look at those lyrics. And that's what we're trying to do. We're playing those mind games, trying to plant those seeds, being the mind gorilla, chanting the mantra. He says peace on earth, but we're chanting the mantra care for truth, right? And it's really just about, it's like another take on imagine. Like, it's about putting the imagination into effect by playing those mind games. So that's a really good, amazing song. And I would just play that song over and over again. Like, I remember, like, there was this one summer, it was probably 2019. And I would listen to it, like, every day I took a shower, I would just blast it. I was always playing it. So that song, for some reason, just popped in, very influential recently. And then the Allman Brothers again, I'll just mention them, live at Fillmore East.
Oh yeah,
one of my favorite albums.
That's so amazing.
You have to be with me on the Desert Islands album, you know, kind of thing. Like, the one of the most incredible blues albums. And they were like that version of the band, the original band, Duane Allman and Barry Oakley and those guys. Like, that's my story with music. You're up, awesome. Brandon or Jerry?
It's me.
And the Allman Brothers are from where that guy Brandon lives. So that's a good segue to go to Brandon.
Well, since we're about to wrap this up, I'll keep it short and sweet. You know, Rick mentioned that, you know, how the music gets stuck in our head. You know, it's usually which part of the song? It's the chorus.
Yep.
It's the chorus that's, you know, that's gets stuck, connected in our heads, you know, like a chord. You
know, like they call it a hook, right?
Yep.
Good point. Yeah.
It latches on. You know, so we're talking about the pulling of strings, rather it be literally or, you know, metaphorically. You know, because that's what's is happening, is the strings are being pulled inwardly and we're pulling those strings outwardly. But, you know, there is a connection as far as a darker, insidious influence that some of y'all have talked about, especially when it comes to the connection of the minds of the youth. And today's music, I've seen, you know, how it's penetrated and perverted a lot of these, you know, children's minds, and a lot of social engineers and a lot of, you know, satanic influence have openly talked about for decades upon decades about, you know, using music, about using symbols, about using, you know, tones and frequencies and energy to awaken a kind of like dormant state of consciousness, a kind of werewolf like animalistic, you know, inner beasts, you know, because we've all seen depictions in Hollywood of how, you know, there's this creature, this being that gets awakened by a certain tone, a certain frequency. And, you know, that's symbolic of, you know, what's being done, you know, to us. You know, like, there's a reason why I kept, you know, talking about the pulling of strings, you know, not just talking about music, But we all have an inner chord. We all have an inner harmony. We all have an inner string, an inner connection. And once that is agitated, once that is pulled, once enough pressure gets put on that, then there is a disconnect. There is a reaction, you know? So that's what we see with the insidious influence of music being used as a weapon on the mindsets of, you know, children. They are fascinated by the sounds. They are fascinated by the beats. They are fascinated by the tones, fascinated by, you know, the wordplay, you know, the repetition and the frequencies. But all of this fascination is nothing more but many, many chords strung together. And when many chords string together, you have a web-like substance. And within this web-like substance, this spider's web, there's always this black widow spider, you know, that's willing to devour, that's willing to, you know, prey, you know, willing to suck on your energy, you know, willing to feed, willing to feast. And that's really what, you know, how we see in this symbolic representation that I'm trying to, you know, have to pick, is these chords are being strong and people are harmonizing and connecting with more nefarious, insidious, like influences. And we all know that, you know, frequency and energy can create more frequency and energy. So, you know, if you target certain individuals and, you know, with these frequencies, with music, we all know how it can be an emotional stimulation. Mm-hmm. So what is this consciousness that they have been trying to awaken? You know, what is this beast, this animal that they have been trying to awaken that lays dormant in man? I think we are starting to see it. You know, it's been depicted so many times, you know, it's been described in Hollywood. It's been described in so many different, you know, forms of entertainment, but that's what we are, you know, being seen, or that's what we are seeing with this insidious influence, you know, the whole TikTok and like all the kids are just repeat and regurgitate the same songs. I see it, mm-hmm. it all the time. And you ask them like, hey, do you know what those words mean? And they're like, nope, you know, but they can do the dances, you know, how they can do the songs, you know, how they can do all the TikTok stuff. But that's really about all, you know, how the kids know. And it is through this insidious influence that they always use the feminine to pervert, because you create, you know, you get people to fall and build this false connection through the emotions, through the irrational, through the illogical, through the, oh, it's cute, oh, because it looks good, you know, you tailor it up. And that's really what we kind of see is, you know, no one listens or goes and reads the lyrics. You know, people just hear the beats and the tones and the choruses. And then I'll go ask, you know, how the parent, like, hey, do you filter? You know, do you go and listen to these lyrics that you were playing for your kids? And they're like, no, but it sounds good. You know, they're sitting there, you know, dancing. Oh, but it sounds good. Oh, it's hip. It's trendy. I'm like, yeah, but it's evil. You know, yeah, you know, just something to, you know, something to think about. Because I've actually been doing a little experiment with this, you know, like when I'm in my tournaments and, you know, like when you are doing like 12U, 14U, that's just what I talked about with Rick. The parents,
great
are just,
story.
Yeah, like the parents are just playing like what, you know, like what Jim talked about. They're playing like the Katy Perry's. They're playing like the, you know, the freaking Beyonce's. They're playing like the Cardi B. And I'm just listening to the stuff. And I'm just like, man, I don't have kids, but there's no way I will let my daughter listen to this stuff. I mean, like, oh my gosh. And the moms are just sitting there. They're either dancing oblivious or they're looking at their phone just oblivious because they think it's cute, because everyone's doing it, because, you know, it's trendy, because they want to blend in and because they want to conform. You know, when no one has the balls to say no, be like, I'm not going to, you know, bring this toxic information, you know, this perverted version of grammar into my environment for my child. And then, you know, last thing is, you know, when you look at all these albums and these covers, you see the fascination and connection with symbols. you know, just to have a deeper, more, you know, relationship, a deeper, more, you know, connection, you know, like with all the whole, you know, symbols and Egyptian symbolism and, you know, occult symbolism that's put on, you know, the front of covers and albums. That's something right there, you know, mm-hmm. in itself. But in closing, my three favorite songs of all times, Doubt Is Ever Going to Change. It's going to take these three songs with me to the grave. Mos Def, My Umi Says, most favorite song of all time, Gangsta Song. And all three of my songs about awakening. Song number two, Kenna, Hellbent, about doing the shadow work, you know, about not being controlled. And then you can't leave off some good reggae, the Heptones, Mystery Babylon.
Oh, yeah.
Yep. You know, when you brought the alcohol into the minds of the kids and you pervert the youth. So I'll close with that.
Sweet. Thanks, Brandon. I just got one quick little thing I'd like to read at the end. Anybody else want to say a sentence or two you didn't get to say?
Can I just add one quick thing, Chris?
Mm-hmm.
I just want to let people, I just want to give some advice, because this is advice I wish somebody would have given me. Even if there's certain, always be open to going back and listening to music that you may not have even liked just a few years ago, because this is what's happening to me. Is there are certain bands I would never listen to, I said I would never like, and then I give them a chance and I go back and listen to them. And for some reason, it must be showing some type of growth, or I was ready for it and I wasn't back then. And then I start loving the music and the band. And sometimes I go back and I still don't like them. So that's fine too. But just don't be willing to go out and try listening to things that you maybe didn't like at one time. And if you don't like them still, then that's fine. You might like them though. I just want to encourage people to do that, because that's been a big thing for me. I going back and listening to bands just I didn't like a year ago, and now I'm like, wow, and like I really like them. So whatever, for whatever that's worth, that's my recommendation. And trust me, I can go all the way from metal. Now another one that I would listen to if you like singing is a band called the Pentatonics, and they just do everything a cappella. And the one song that they do, Hallelujah, will bring me to tears every time I hear it, like every single time. It's just, it hits something in me, and it's just such a powerful song. So that's my, like, my music taste now is across the board. So just don't be scared to try different music, I guess, is my final thing. Thank you.
Stretch your horizons.
That's right.
It's always good to grow. And how can you discover something if you don't look somewhere you haven't looked before?
There you go.
If I can go real quick, just to end my, you know, leave my two cents on the table. And yeah, I had, you know, some more notes on, you know, not the positive stuff, but, you know, we're about to wrap it up. So, I mean, I think we've done that pretty well. And major, major gratitude to all of you, because you're doing the great work. Now, as far as three songs or whatever to, like, leave you guys with, you know, I'm still kind of going through this in my head. But I'll just mention this one, you know, because it did change my life. Is a song called Waking the Demon by A Bullet for My Valentine. Oh, yeah. And why I mentioned this one is because this was my first introduction to metalcore, something that I listen to this day. And, you know, it's really synchronistic because you picked Metallica, Rick.
Mm-hmm.
And this band was really inspired by Metallica. Yep. So they're like, they're similar in many ways. Except they scream and, you know, so, you know, I just say that one. I think it's like symbolic because it's almost like there's a demon that we have to use when our rights are being taken away. So then I have to mention Diesel Automatic because, you know, I was at a low point in the military, and then I heard his music, and now I'm out of the military. Like, there's like a whole great sequence of events that have just changed my life for the better. And, you know, I'll just say, you know, Grant Presence, because, you know, he has what would you call it, you know, he's a freedom artist, and also he's introduced me to reggae. So kind of like what you said, Rick, don't be afraid to listen to music you never liked. reggae, he really opened up my, I guess, consciousness, expand. Like, I like reggae now is what I'm saying. So mm-hmm. I'll just pass it to, I don't know, whoever wants to talk. Yeah, you, Derek.
Sure. I'll just say real quick that, yeah, this is a great discussion, gentlemen. Y'all brought up some superb points. Much love. And I guess, you know, to wrap it up, rap? It's like the way you express yourself, man. Shit. Hip hop is something you live, right? You know, yeah, I'm much more of a hip hop head than anything else. Shout out to Joe Murray, right? Him,
oh, yeah. Yeah.
Kyle Zodiac, Diesel Automatic, and New Vision Project. Those are pretty much like the top MCs. I'll include BMAC Mastermind and maybe Killer Priest. As far as what I've heard at high conscious level music since, like, at least, let's just say, you know, 2018 type of stuff to the current time. But like my top three, I'm just going to name collective of musicians because it was just something of a special time, this golden era in the Bay Area. And I've wept over this too many times, and I'm not going to do it right now, but the Gifted Gab of Blackalicious, rest in peace. One of the dopest wordsmiths to ever touch a fucking microphone. And their album Nia, N-I-A, it was just, it was mind-blowing. Listening to this in the late 90s in high school. Still young, dumb, full of cum, but having that type of proper conscious direction towards, like, oh, wow, these guys are talking about some serious shit. I want to listen to more and, like, keep listening to that shit. Along the Bay Area, there is Living Legends. It's a collective of 9 MCs. I'm not going to list them all, but their music was just, it's that low-tech introspect, you know, going off of, like, 4-track tapes, you know, recording music in their fucking bathrooms, living rooms, wherever they fucking could, just to get the music out and the message out, because they had so much drive and energy and knowledge to just bring forth through their talent and all this stuff. And the last group is Kemetic Sons. Eclipse 427, King Concepts, Kirby Dominant, folks like that. Hypnotic, the Native Son. That album was like just one of my favorite of all times. And it's just, it tails in so many life lessons. And, you know, when, you know, you listen to these young MCs, they're in high school themselves when they fucking started out, and they're humble about it. They're not on this, you know, like hubris, mumble rap, fucking bullshit. They're taking the humble path and it, expressing themselves and being vulnerable and letting the public know that, like, they fucked up. They've gone through some shit and they went through some of these shadow working aspects and stuff like that. And they came out as a better person and leveled the fuck up. And that inspired me to do the same. And that's what we're trying to do with this segment, right, guys? So, yeah.
Sweet. You know, I mentioned Beltane's Fire because they're anarchist music. And I think the whole band said they were anarchist of anarchist nature. So, and I mentioned the Rudians, which I really like their music. I don't know if they're anarchists necessarily, but they have some pretty cool lyrics that really, I like when their lyrics are in my head because they're positive. But I forgot to mention Natalie Rise. She's someone I've really discovered in the last year, and all her lyrics are incredible. And so before we go out here, I'm just going to read one little bit of her lyrics. She says, "Ever rising, said all we need to do is build some new systems for the ones we're living under now. Well, that's not really living. You overstand, we're singing because we love this world we live in. Never underestimate the powers of the people in it. Yeah, they be running like wildfire with pure intentions, seeking truth beyond this realm, deep into new dimensions. So when you think we're going to be waiting around for politicians, better come again. This Natty Dread don't vote in their elections. See, my eyes are open wide, and I keep shining with the music by my side. I'm going to keep rising. And every step that we be taking, we chant down the system. I never reach for television, just tune inner vision. So, thought that'd
That's be good. Natalie Rides?
Rise, R-I-Z.
Oh, R-I-Z, thank you.
Yeah,
Rise.
R-I-Z-E. And her name's spelled a little different, N-A-T-T-A-L-I.
N-A-T-T-A-L-I.
Fantastic reggae. She's been around for a while, and all her songs are like that. It's just nothing but conscious freedom, loving, fuck this system, wonderful music. So
in reggae style.
There's a lot out there, folks. You know, like Rick said, look around, find music that jives, that puts you in the mode you want to be in, and use it to produce power.
500 artists.
Check out Awaken Your Mind. And Derek's done a lot of good work to provide
for sure
quality, and even infusing in little Mark Passio quotes or Brandon Spencer quotes, or, you know, so. All right, great episode, guys. There's a lot to be said about music, and I know the people listening, their gears are turning too. So let's keep this beat going and pound the drums for freedom. Much love, y'all. We'll be back in a month.
Take care, guys.